Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Welcome to the VCOS Radio here on Radio at Firehouse.com. VCOS Radio is a part of the Volunteer and Combination Officer section of the International Association of Fire Chiefs, and we're going to host every couple of months a new podcast to look at some of the issues that members of the VCOS are looking at. And this month we're looking at junior firefighters and fire exploring programs. Our host today is Tim Wall, who is the chairman of the Executive Committee for the VCOS. Tim, why don't you introduce the guests today and we can get into the program.
Well, good afternoon, Pete. Thank you very much, and be happy to introduce the guests we have with us this afternoon. We have with us Chief James Watson from Newcastle, Delaware. He's been a chief from that department for several years. He's also been president of the Eastern Division of the IAFC. We have Gary Breeze with us. Gary was the executive director for many years at the IAFC, and he's given us a lot of guidance, especially into Explorer Post, along with Youth of America, encouraging us with the International Association of Fire Chiefs to embrace them and work with them and come up with solid foundations. And that's why we're here to talk about the subject. We also have with us Gene Coleman, who is a battalion chief with the Center Point Fire District in Birmingham, Alabama. And gentlemen, welcome to the show. As I talk with you, I may refer to you as chief or first name basis. So as long as we got your introductions out at the beginning, we should be all set. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being on the call today.
Thank you.
And Pete, what we'll talk about is maybe just ask some general questions and give an overview of today's presentation. The VCOS has worked with a program called learningforlife.org. And what it's in reference to is promoting a junior cadet explorer post within your department with some guidelines. And I'm probably turned towards Gary Breeze to comment on those in a little bit. But it's a way to help the volunteer fire service to start at a younger age, recruit individuals who would like to participate and give them structure, give them guidance, and give them goals and objectives. And that way it encourages through the volunteerism that he or she can participate in some manner of helping their community and helping their fire department. One thing we want to understand is there are differences, and I think any volunteer fire department or any fire department that would like to start an explorer post is understand there is a difference. And some people make a reference, junior programs, cadets, explorer post. The key point is you need to identify which organization you want to adopt and promote, set guidelines, objectives, do's and don'ts, working with your state agencies. And I just will comment quickly in Connecticut that under some Connecticut laws, there are some do's and don'ts for age 14, 16, and up to 18. And we're trying to encourage in Connecticut, once you start your post or start your program, it would be good to work with, if you're an OSHA state, with OSHA, and maybe even contact your Department of Labor so you as a fire chief or you as a advisor or your department know and understand maybe some of your state regulations that we encourage before you start a program, you actually research that. And with that, what I'll do is I'll turn over to Gary Breeze, and he can give an overview about the program, Learning for Life, and what's his feelings about explorers in the American Fire Service. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you, Tim. You know, the Learning for Life program is a separate corporation that was developed by the Boy Scouts of America to do career and character education. And one of the components of that is the occupation-oriented programs, such as Fire Explorer Program, Law Enforcement Exploring Program, Medical Services Exploring, those kind of things like that. Fire Service Exploring is the second largest exploring program in the Learning for Life behind Law Enforcement Exploring. And it provides youth the opportunity to experience and receive the training for a career or an avocation in the fire service. Gene, you're on the line?
Yes, sir.
Right. You want to add anything to that from an advisor's perspective?
From an advisor's perspective, you know, it's an opportunity for your department, you know, to most definitely recruit future members starting out at a young age. As we say, we bring them in, we show them a few things, and we start setting the hook and at the young age and train them in a lot of different things and build them to, by the time they're 18, they've got a lot of skills already to be an asset to your volunteer company or to a career department down the road. Either way, you know, you're building a career and making sure somebody's coming in to the fire service that really is interested in it, that's got the need, the want, the things that make a good firefighter.
And why did you choose an exploring program as opposed to a juniors program or a cadet program?
We picked the exploring program just outright. I started out as an explorer. Age 14, I showed up at a fire station selling barbecue tickets, and from there, next thing I knew, I was hanging around the fire station, and an exploring program came up in our area, joined the post. Some 30 years later, I'm still in the fire service. First, the benefits for exploring is you're endorsed by an organization. The International Association of Fire Chiefs is one of the lead agencies in explorers and sponsors scholarships. The background of some liability insurance to help protect the department, youth protection guidelines, where specifically dealing with detecting child abuse, child neglect, all sorts of issues dealing with the youth protection program, making sure they're safe if we're doing anything. Specific guidelines are already in place on a national level to ensure the safety of the youth.
And those things also protect the advisors in the department too, don't they?
Yes, sir, most definitely. The youth protection, we require two deep leadership in our programs. That way there's not a chance for a youth and an advisor to be one-on-one. The program is designed where you have two adults with one youth and hopefully prevents any questions from being raised.
And Gary and Gene, a question from Tim. I mean, that's another thing we want to strongly recommend to either departments that have a program and or want to start one. It's important for those important guidelines of a two-way. There's protection of the youth and there's protection of the advisors, along with insurance in case something has happened to either one of them. Either while they're participating in the event or helping in the event, those would be important, Gary, correct?
Yeah, very much so, Tim. I think that, as you said in the beginning, there's a whole, people mix the idea of cadets, young firefighter programs, and fire explorers and sort of mix them all together as youth programs. They're not the same. A cadet program and a young firefighter program, am I using the right term, Tim? I'm blanking on the term.
For
the young firefighters.
You could be a cadet, could be a junior firefighter.
I was blanking on junior firefighter.
Okay, all right.
The junior firefighter program, those three terms are being used synonymously, and they're not. There's significant differences between them, and the biggest difference is the Fire Explorer program is a national program with national guidelines, as Gene was saying, with insurances that are in place, with rules and protections that are in place. And importantly, programs and a committee that VCOS is serving as a key component of for guidance and direction for the program. A cadet program or a junior firefighter program are both independently run, unaffiliated programs that are run by the local fire department. And when I've talked to chiefs about why would you choose a cadet program or a junior firefighter program over a fire explorer program, they said, well, it basically gives me more freedom to do what I want with the youth. Well, I think personally, and Gene, please jump in on this, that freedom sort of comes with a price, and some of that price may be liability and program sustainability and things like that. Gene, you have a comment on that?
I'll jump on one of our recently, we had a tragedy in Alabama last year. A 17-year-old was riding on a fire apparatus in our state, and it was involved in a collision and ended up, she was killed. A tragedy for the fire service as a whole, a young life snuffed out just at the beginning there. But one of the things we identified, and the fire service as a whole has, National Fire Academy, several different groups that have looked at it, tankers kill firefighters. Why would we want to expose youth on tankers?
Tanker tenders, right? That's the new term. We got to use that new term now.
Anything over 1,000 gallons. We have just recently went through working with our Department of Labor Child Services Division here in our state is redoing the guidelines. And one of the terms we use here in our state is they're fire explorers. The term junior firefighter provides some confusion. Youth under the age of 18, at least in most of the states that I'm familiar with, prevent or do not allow persons under 18 to fight fire. So they're fire explorers, they're cadets, they can't be junior firefighters. Now, the term there can cause some confusion, but that's one thing that we've looked at. So in visiting with the state, you know, the term fire explorer, term cadet, a junior's program, but try to differentiate between a firefighter, which is a legally recognized term in the state, in our laws, that's the person who enters buildings to extinguish fires and provide rescue. We wanted to differentiate between the two. So tankers, you know, that's one thing that can kill youth. There's several different things that you have to look out with. And going through this process and identifying different risk factors from a metro area in a downtown environment to the rural back roads way out in the country, you know, there's different risks for different departments, but you've got to look at each department individually, but you've got to have a national or a statewide standard to ensure uniformity and safety of the youth nationwide.
And the Fire Explorer program provides that?
Yes, sir. Has certain points there that are pretty well cut and dry, clear, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it gives us something. And then each different organization has the right to be more restrictive if they determine a need there. You know, but at least there should be a minimum set where if the youth are involved in a program, we know that certain things injure firefighters or kill firefighters that are career trained, state certified, volunteer, either side there. But we know there's just things that kill us, and if we don't protect the youth, then we're at risk there.
And one of the comments earlier by one of the panel, not only do we want to have certain things in place, but we also want to have a program that does activity or reaches a goal of, just an example, will be certified in CPR or basic first aid, because having the youth come around to your firehouse, you just don't want them involved in, you know, sweeping the floor or washing the truck. You want to make it fun, exciting for them, family-oriented, and they see the value of being part of an exciting program. I mean, that's another way that we have to encourage people to start programs, that they look at that, because you want people to come to your station. You want to make sure they're getting some kind of, you know, training out of it, or they try to reach to some kind of certification. Example, you know, becoming certified in CPR or maybe in MRT, but that's a benefit. I don't know if you would agree with that, Gene.
Yes, sir. Right there, NIMS, something simple that they can do in the fire station, they can do at home, they can do at school. Just running through the NIMS classes and getting those behind them, understanding the instant command process on the local level and the department on the national level. One of the things that we as a group in our area work for is anybody that's going to be riding on a unit, they have to complete certain standards. We require CPR and bloodborne pathogens training there before they're even eligible to be on the unit. One of the new things that we're adding is first responder. It's not certifying them to an EMT basic or ambulance level, but we're providing them with some idea of what's going to happen at the emergency scene, where this is where we feel there's a benefit. If they come into the fire service and join us, you know, we've got a future member that's going to benefit the department and the community they serve in. But they change direction, and they want to be an attorney, they want to be a vet, they want to do something different. We can redirect them to another post that specializes in that interest. But the skills that we teach them in fire exploring, our skills are for life. Basic fire safety, CPR, things that whether they're involved in a fire service or not, they're going to be a first responder for many years to come.
What do the guidelines say that a fire explorer should not do in addition to interior firefighting?
Oh, well, interior firefighting most definitely is. I'm going to go off the national standard here, but they're not substituted for trained personnel. They can't be substituted for any firefighter. They've got to have the appropriate protective equipment for the activity being performed. If you're climbing ladders, boots, helmet, gloves, at a minimum, just simple things like that. Can be activated individually. Give pagers.
What is it? What does that mean?
Give pagers to all your explorers and say, okay, the tone goes off. We want you to come to the scene. Here, again, and we're using examples from our area, they cannot drive their personal vehicle to the scene. They can come to the fire station, and they will respond as a group on an apparatus or with adult supervision. Again, that's one of our killers, you know, 30% per year returning and responding to alarms. For firefighters that are trained, we read LODDs on a regular basis. You know, somebody's died responding to an incident. You know, these are things that we've seen for years that hopefully we can prevent. So bringing them in and carrying them as a group would be safer. Cannot climb aerial ladders. Aerial ladders, for the most part, proper training and use is a safe thing. But they don't want them climbing them on the scene. If we go to the drill tower in a controlled environment in a training setting, that's a permissible activity. But at an emergency scene, what we say is they have to be in the cold zone. We're just dealing with the hazardous materials response, they're in the cold zone.
Yeah, but then I can't use them for supplementing my staffing.
Supplementing your staffing, and some of the benefits we use them in our post here is they can't be firefighters, but there's a lot of things that go on the fire ground. All of us know that. Helping lay out the line, helping the pump operator put things in place, changing out air bottles, setting up lighting, setting up traffic cones.
Setting up rehab?
Setting up rehab, most definitely. You know, being ready for when the guys come out, or the girls, you know, having them do tasks in the cold zone that's safe, helping the incident commander, accountability. Simple training of the accountability system, keeping up with moving the tags, who's where, how long somebody's been in. That's an asset to an incident commander where he can focus on the fire, the exposures, and see where he needs to deploy forces, you know, whether it's a small incident or a large incident. You know, the explorers have a benefit for the emergency scene, plus they're seeing and learning what goes on at the scene. Again, going back to lifelong lessons, one of the things that we talk to our parents about when they first come into the program, before they can ride. They come to the fire station, they get riding on an apparatus, they're going to see things. They're going to see the best of life, delivery of a new baby. They're going to see the worst. The knife and gun club where somebody's been shot, DUIs, the hazards of somebody drinking and driving, you know, drugs, you know, there's a wide variety. The homeless to the folks who are wealthy, you know, you'll see a wide variety in each community, and those things are lifelong lessons that they can carry home with them and use throughout their life.
And Chief Coleman, you made a couple of good points there. That I think one is the family atmosphere. Like any new recruit coming in the door, whether he, just say for regular membership, I know it's encouraged to bring like a family night. So you bring in, you know, a wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or whichever. But also, maybe it's not looked upon, a junior member coming in, that we welcome the mother, father, and explain to them what we're going to demonstrate, show them, so the parents feel safe also.
Yes, sir. Another point that we try to stress, and I'm just using our local atmosphere here that we're used to and some of the state guidelines that we've set with the Division of Labor, is high school education. Education is so important nowadays if you're going to move forward. We're going to ask them that they maintain a 2.5 grade point average. You know, if they drop below that, then they lose privileges. You know, it's just like we do at our house. You don't keep your grades up, you're going to lose the Xbox. You know, you've got to keep your grades at a certain level for privileges. So, you know, that gives them some responsibility there to know that for your action, there will be a reaction, per se. So, you know, that's another lifelong lesson that we work with. And, I've told the youth that come into our fire station, if you're having problems with homework, bring it down here. It's been a couple of years since I've done some of the algebra and things like that, but hopefully, you know, we can sit down as a group and find an answer to your question, not do your homework, but work with you or give you an experience or help you build a project or something like that.
Another way of showing teamwork.
Yes, sir.
Gary, let me turn around a little bit and ask a couple things about, what about rewarding or giving things to the explorers along with, you know, there's that term musters and competitions. And through the Explorer Post recognizes, is there a national conference or competition? What's your information or knowledge on that?
You know, one of the things that the Explorer program has is a series of state level or, in some cases, regional level. And certainly every 2 years, there's a National Fire and Emergency Services Exploring Conference. And at that conference, we have about 650 fire explorers who participate. If I recall right, at this year's conference at the University of Illinois Fire School, we had something in excess of 25 posts from as far away as Washington State and Alabama and Florida and New York, participating in a whole host of both educational seminars, training sessions, as well as competitions. And the conference has been held both at the National Fire Academy two times, down at the Texas A&M Fire School once, and this most recent time was at the University of Illinois Fire School. Phenomenal opportunities for the kids, phenomenal opportunities for the post to go and orient program for the previous year toward the competition and the educational events. Tremendous rewards to be able to go there, take kids to those kind of events. And I know Chief Coleman's done a lot of that in the past, because I think I've seen him at every one of the national conferences. Gene, you got a comment?
Our kids live for that. We do a local competition once a year here in our metro area. And from those competitions, we met posts around our area or going to some of the trade shows, EMS Expo, Fire Rescue International, and we've met youth at those posts and invited them to our state for just a small one-day little competition where we all get together. But the kids, there's some intense competition right there, and there's some bragging rights that they hold their trophies high. But on the best part of it, you know, they're learning something. While they're at the fire schools on the national level, some of the best of the nation's instructors are working hand-in-hand with them with some of the best props and training aids that are available. As a firefighter, you know, 28, 30 years now, my first opportunity to go to Texas was with our youth, or to Illinois. And both of those campuses were just impressive, and sitting back as a member of the fire service, sitting there watching them learn at the same time, picking up new training aids for our department. We sat there and took pictures of some of the training aids at one of the campuses to bring back to our drill tower, that something simple as far as a bolt and a couple of pieces of an angle iron can make an excellent forcible entry pump. So we love it as a group, and we work as a group. You know, our post are usually about 10 folks, maybe for the most part, but we team together as a group to make it a better experience, and the kids really work hard for it every year.
One example, like in state of a, they call it a cadet program, where they go to an academy for, it's usually 3 to 5 days, and their structure of what they can do and what they can't do with instructors, they actually stay at the academy, and they do evolutions, and they learn topics, and at the end of the 3 or 5 days, whichever it may be, they have like a little cookout, and they do a demonstration. The lead instructor explains everything to the parents. They invite the chief that sponsors the youth to go to this camp called Junior Camp. They usually get a T-shirt and then a hat, and they present them with a certificate. And that's been going on now in Connecticut for approximately 14 years and very successful. So successful that they've increased the number of attendees that can come, and they're doing it two times a year compared to only doing it one time a year. And I'm sure throughout America there's the fire service, there's different kind of programs that they offer or education. I just think we have to reemphasize on a department level and a chief's level the protection of everyone, have standards, have goals, have objectives, you know, have some kind of curriculum. Can't say that word. But they're getting a benefit from being a member of your organization. Okay, we'll take a break now. We'll be back shortly with our topic for today on Tuesday, December 11th, on junior programs, explorer post, cadet programs in the fire service. And with us today, we have Gary Breeze, Gene Coleman, and Tim Walcher, the VCOS. Be back shortly.
radio@firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Well, welcome back to the VCOS Radio at firehouse.com. Today's subject matter is discussing on a national level junior cadet programs in Explorer Posts. I'd like to welcome back with us is Chief Gene Coleman from Birmingham, Alabama, along with Gary Breeze, and we have Chief Jim Watson from Newcastle, Delaware, who's joining us to talk and share a little bit of experience about his junior firefighting program in Delaware. What I'd like to do at this time, and maybe have some information to share or some closing thoughts for the betterment of Explorer Posts for the fire service in America. So I'll start with Gary Breeze.
Closing thoughts? Absolutely. First, I think every fire department needs to have a youth program. There is no question that the fire service has a key leadership role in the communities around the United States, and that while we talk a lot about, you know, youth programs and fire explorer programs for recruitment for our own, there are connections, and Gene can speak to those connections about how youth can be brought in and passed on to other components of learning for life. I also believe that the youth program, the best youth program that exists out there on a national basis, is the Fire Explorer program. There's actually more than 2,000 Fire Explorer posts around the United States that are focused on providing fire exploring career training and orientation for youth in the communities. I think we need to be moving that number to double that number, because there's that many more opportunities easily around the United States. So, Tim, thank you very much for allowing me to participate. Gene, thank you also for what you do at the ground level there in Alabama with running a program and keeping the state Fire Explorer stuff going. And, Tim, I appreciate the opportunity to participate.
Gary, thank you very much for your time and your knowledge of a program. And we'll be talking to you, and stay safe.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, continuing on with our program, we have Chief Coleman. What do you have to share with us as closing with our discussion this afternoon?
Just go back a couple of years, starting out at about 30 years ago, somebody coming into the fire service as a young kid, and 30 years later, involved every day in some aspect of the fire service. It gives an opportunity for service to your community. It's hard to say, but exploring essentially shaped my career path and my volunteer path for days come by. Working in exploring, you have the opportunity to see kids who come into the program as, I don't know what I want to do in life, to coming in and joining a fire department and then moving through the ranks of the department and eventually hoping to lead one, leading somebody, and also working in their community. You know, a kid involved in the exploring program, kids recognize that at school. And that's how we get most of our youth coming back in, new youth coming in, is they know that John is a fire explorer. What are you doing hanging on the fire truck? Well, I come down, they teach me something about a job. I'm going to be a firefighter one day. And then that's how we travel. As far as learning for life, we're teaching kids valuable skills to carry them down the road, whether they're in the fire service or pick another career path or a community service path. You know, that's what we're for.
And what a wonderful way to start with Youth of America to help with their foundation, their challenge in life of where they want to go, which path they want to choose. It gives them a safe home to come into your firehouse or your fire station with objectives, with goals, with a vision that, you know, they can see, hey, I can maybe drive one of these someday, or, you know, I can be a firefighter someday. I can help save my community, you know, work on CPR, save my life, or whatever. I mean, it's right in front of them for them to see that, and that's good values to install. You know, one thing is you can also say is that somebody be sitting there, and we have to reach out in part of our marketing to make our fire department better. What a wonderful opportunity you have is to welcome youth into your fire station. And they start seeing the value, as we talked earlier in the program, that they're going to talk that this is a good place to be. Before you know it, there's another buddy that comes in of one of the juniors, another parent buys into the program, and of course it all works around that of your marketing your department that, you know, for some reason you have to do some bonding about a fire engine, you have to do something about a new station. You see the Youth of America involved at parades and things like that. They'll say that's a place that the town, the city, the county should be investing their money. And I'd like to swing over to Chief Jim Watson from Newcastle, Delaware, who's had a very successful, distinguished career as a leader in the Delaware Fire Service, and president of the Eastern Division. But Chief Watson, it's my understanding you started as a junior member maybe a couple years ago, Jim?
A few years ago, about 33 years ago, as a matter of fact.
And what's the overview of your junior program in your fire station along with the state of Delaware?
Our program in our department is running well. We average to keep probably about 15 young men in. Over the years, we've taken some in that were basically come to the firehouse because they were, I guess, for a better lack of word, of trying to maybe get down the wrong path at one time or another, and they've come in and they've grown up to be good firefighters, and most of them have went off and become career firefighters in surrounding states and within our own state. And it's been a good mentoring system for them, and all of them have stayed with the department as volunteers, along with going and being a career member of another department, wherever it may be. But our program has really been good. It's always been a good mentoring system, and I think it's something, I agree with what Gary said earlier, that that's what all our departments need to be doing, bringing our young people in, whether it be men or women. And for one thing, both of my daughters have joined as junior members, and they are both in our senior aspect of it now, the department. My oldest daughter is was our active top responder for the last 2 years. So, I mean, she rides her truck all the time, and she's very active with that, and she's also our fire recorder, and they served as junior officers and stuff in the junior program as chief and president and secretaries of the organization. So it does teach them a lot of leadership skills, and it's been a positive thing, on my feeling, through my 33 years and watching some of our younger men come up through the junior program and become officers and work their way to the top in our department. It's been a positive thing.
Well, there you go, Chief Watson, keeping the good work of the fire service within your family, keeping the tradition going. And maybe, who knows, maybe you have your future chief to take your position.
There you go.
Chief Coleman, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our topic today on juniors, explorers, and cadets for the fire service?
Our focus in the fire service is most definitely fire service driven. You know, fire exploring, learning for life programs offer an opportunity for youth to come into the fire service to learn about the career or the fire service as a whole. And occasionally we have some come in that, I don't know if the fire service is what I want to do. We may run them through a CPAT test, put them in the SCBA, and some of these things may not agree with them, or they just may have a different focus in life. They really wanted to be an engineer, or they wanted to be a doctor or a nurse or attorney, vet. There's several different things, but learning for life, there's so many different ways. There's different programs for each type of career path, and any business, company, even a media outlet, one of the local TV stations here sponsors a post for somebody who's interested in media. We can direct them towards a post of what they want to do. You know, if they don't want to be firefighters, maybe we can direct them to be, you know, attorneys, or maybe a doctor or a vet or an engineer. Now, Learning for Life is a program that prepares the youth for our future in the country. Changing gears here, we talked about bringing the youth into the fire service, and going back a few years, the fire corps programs that are out there, that's what we can do with our youth, bringing them in as an auxiliary to the fire department to back it up, or the CERT community emergency response teams. Now, looking at different things, we train these youth and bring them into the fire service. There's a wide variety of things you can use, whether they decide to come into the fire service as a volunteer member for life, or join a career department, which is something that is just great to see one come in and stay in a volunteer department forever, or move over and go to the career side. You know, seeing a youth stay in the program, but having these foundations built in your community for down the road when the big one does hit, when the F4 tornado blows through your community, or the floods, or the severe ice conditions right now in our country, you know, where they can help out in those areas, manning a shelter, There's so many different opportunities for our youth, but maybe we're not touching those to expand upon their benefit. Some people think, well, they're just a teenager and they listen to rock music and ride skateboards and play video games, or what is it, Guitar Hero right now. There's a lot of benefit. You bring them in, you can have a lot of fun with them. They can teach you things that you didn't have a clue, where at the same time you're teaching them lifelong lessons to carry home.
Well, one thing we can do with today's age in the youth of America, you know, I'm a challenged person with my computer. I'm sure there could be a two-way interaction, right?
Yes, sir. That's it. You know, these new software programs come out. Hey, come here, show me what they're talking about.
Well, Chief Coleman, I appreciate you being with us here today, and please stay on the line for a few minutes. And with that, go back to Chief James Watson from Newcastle, Delaware, and just a closing statement, Chief Watson, about the importance of junior cadet programs in America.
Well, like I said earlier, I think it's a positive thing, and I think we need to focus on that. It's a big part of our recruitment and retention. If we can get the young people in, keep them interested, and put them into situations like we've been talking about, like doing the CPAT test and different things like that, just to see what they're capable of doing, and then when they become eligible, I know some states have different laws and stuff. In our state, most of our junior firefighters actually ride the trucks and participate, as long as there's an officer on the apparatus with them to direct them and to make sure that they do it and do what they got to do to follow the officer and stuff. But for the most part, they, you know, operate at the fire scene just like a regular officer or a regular firefighter would, and you know, they're an exterior person, but that's an extra person that we have that we can depend on during the day or in the evenings when they're out of school and different things like that, and holidays, help man the equipment and different things like that. But I do seriously think that that's something that we really need to focus on in the fire services, our youth, and get into our schools and different things like that and have programs. I know the state of Maryland has, in Cecil County, Maryland, for a fact, that one of the VOTEC schools, they started a firefighter program. When they complete the program, they're Fire 1 certified, and they have their National Registry EMTB and their hazmat training when they get out of VOTEC school at the age of 18. And one of the considerations is that they already have to be a member of a local volunteer fire department in order to get into the program. And from what I understand, it's starting to take off pretty well. So that may be something that we might want to look at for across the country for VOTEC schools or in some of the school districts to pull in some numbers of some of our youth.
Well, Chief Watson, you and Chief Coleman and Gary Breeze earlier have raised some excellent comments and the importance to our youth in America. And the VCOS has been committed to and leadership promoting, you know, the Learning for Life program, but also have organizations research and look at what they're teaching the youth, but also making sure that they're okay, whether it's through, you know, work with your local insurance agent who you have to make sure there's coverage. Is there protection for the cadet or the junior member, protection for the advisor? Also that you're working with your state agencies, whichever they may be, you know your local laws and your state laws. So it's a win-win for everyone. It's promoting good, positive activity for youth of America. So you've been on VCOS Radio with Firehouse.com. Our subject matter today has been Explorer Posts, Junior Programs, Cadet Programs in the Fire Service. We've had three members on the panel. Just want to make sure that everyone understands there are differences in these. What makes your department better? What helps you? We encourage you to keep up the good work. But just take a look at some things to be careful of, so if something does happen or an unfortunate incident, you are covered, the youth of America is covered, and it's for the betterment of the fire service. So I want to thank you very much for being on today. And Pete Matthews, you had a comment earlier. We were going to come back to something.
Hey, Tim, I just wanted to follow up and see how the symposium in the Sun, your VCOS conference, went earlier this fall. It was attendance-wise and some of the topics that you covered and whatnot.
Well, thank you very much for asking that. And we do actually, Chief Watson can share something because he was there also. But, Pete, it's the VCOS Symposium in the Sun. It takes place in late October, early November. We've been doing it for approximately 10, 11 years. It's an educational opportunity for a weekend. This year, we had over 462 attendees. It was excellent are 4 days of education, opportunity for networking. We literally take over the whole hotel, so no matter where you probably go during the time frame, there is another attendee, maybe his or her family's with them. There's opportunities at the restaurant, in the hallways, coffee breaks, and there gives you a little time also to enjoy the scenery of the beach and the pool, so while you're out there, you can engage in them. We have put a lot of the speakers and the presentations on our website. That's www.vcos.org, and you can actually download the presentations of our presenters. It was a success, and we're just looking for next year to make it bigger and better. And Chief Watson, you were there, so do you have a few comments about the symposium?
I think it's a great thing. I think the VCOS does a very good job with the program. Again, I've been a member of that since its inception. I was a charter member of it when it first started. I believe in it. I think it's something that's been a positive thing, and the conference has been a huge success. I do the FDIC every year. I do the International Fire Chiefs Conference and everything else, but it's on a little more scale. It's a little more personal, and you do, like Chief Wall said, you do have time to network and visit with other people and learn about what's going on in the country, and I do think it's a very good learning experience, and it's a great 3 or 4 day conference to get together and learn what's going on. And most of the stuff that is discussed there is all stuff that's happening right now, not things that have happened, and they bring some things to the forefront that's going to happen.
And I just have another quote from another attendee, and this individual is mentioning, I have taken training for 34 years, and this has been, without a doubt, one of the best experiences I have ever had. I come home full of ideas to improve myself and my company. And that's just, some information from attendees. Pete, it's going to be next year, October 30th through November 2nd. It's going to be in Clearwater, Florida. There'll be information on the IAFC VCOS website. And encourage you to come down and join us, Pete.
Okay, Tim. Well, thank you very much. Thank you to all the guests today on this podcast. And if you do have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to drop us an email at podcast@firehouse.com. Tim, thank you very much, and a Happy New Year to you and everybody else in the VCOS, and we'll look forward to the next show coming up here in a few months.
Thank you for the opportunity of working with the VCOS, and we would like to say Happy New Year to everyone, good holiday season, stay safe out there. Thank you very much.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening. And stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.